Chapter 46, Note-Taking 2022. No rest for the wicked. You ever hear that one? No rest for the wicked. You know, like a lot of times people tell me, hey, you're God and all this stuff. You know, it's all fire and brimstone. You know, that's not my God. Hey, sorry. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it said, you know. Hey, sorry. I don't have a lot of choices here. You know, like if I want to believe in God, I either believe in God or I don't. So I got God or the devil. What can I tell you? That's all I got. That's all I got. And if I got God, I got eternal salvation, a happy, happy, joy, joy. And if I don't, I got really eternal damnation. That's just the way it's written. Sorry, kids, it's been that way since the beginning of time. And may I say, it's the only thing that hasn't changed. No rest for the wicked. Listen, you know as well as I do, hell on earth. When people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, they live in a hell on earth. But let's take it to the limit, man, since we're all overachievers. No rest for the wicked. The wicked go to hell. They go to hell. There's no rest for the wicked in hell. There's no rest. It's eternal gnashing of teeth. I'm just telling you what it says, man. Okay, so if I want to believe the Bible, it's just easier for me to say, if I have to make a choice, I'd rather be comfortable. And I'm more comfortable doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I got to have a list. The Bible's the only thing that hasn't changed. I get so sick and tired of hearing about fire and brimstone. That my God is fire and brimstone. Look at this earth. This earth is fire and brimstone. If you pick this earth, this is what it looks like. This is like the best it gets. War, pestilence, fire, earthquakes. Come on. But if you're a Christian, this is worse as it gets, huh? We get to go to heaven. And people say, well, what if you're wrong? Hey, if I'm wrong, I still get to live a life that is a little better than the one I used to live. But if I'm right and the guy who doesn't believe in God is wrong, it's very seriously bad. There's no downside to believing in God. Well, you know as well as I do, the earth is a dangerous place for Christians. It's a dangerous place, right? Man, you can say anything you want about Christians, but you say something about a grasshopper, wow, now everybody's against you, right? You know, everybody's against you. You know, you said something against a grasshopper, you know? Man, you say something against a Christian, you can say something against Christians all day long. You say something against anybody, anything else, you're a this or you're a that. But you need a reminder. Chapter 46, note-taking 2022. Nobody takes good notes. And we need them. We need the reminders. Notes. Nobody takes good notes. Mute your phones. Come on, mute your phones. Come on, come on. What am I talking about here? Mute your phones. There's 30 people on the phone. Mute your phone. Look at your phones right now. There you go. There you go. Look at you. Good, good, good. Nobody takes good notes, nobody. If you did, and you could actually read them, wouldn't you look smart all the time, huh? Wouldn't you look smart all the time? So I'm going to outline a few ways to take notes so you can look smart all the time. If I were you, I'd pick one of these things and do it right, or do all of them. You want to look smart, don't you? Of course you do. You're in charge, large and in charge. Come on, be all you can be. The Bible may be the most extensive note-taking history book I've ever read. It is the notes of God's testimony. Can you dig that? You want to know the testimony of God? The Bible is his testimony. That's cool, right? How about your testimony? How can people find your testimony? Well, you can tell them, right? You can tell them. Well, what if you're dead? Or maybe you're just not there. Or maybe somebody misquotes what your story really is. Well, that's not so good, is it? Who will remember without notes? Who will know who you are without reading your notes? Who would remember God's testimony without notes? What would we do without the Bible? A whole Bible of notes. Thousands of years of God happenings. Oh, isn't that cool? What a movie would that be? I talk about making a movie all the time. The movies about God, they're hard to find where they're really telling the testimony of God. They're telling the testimony of how to sell tickets, but the testimony of God. If you just told the testimony of God, it'd sell itself. You didn't have to worry about selling tickets, right? a whole Bible full of notes from God. Wow, kids, what about my testimony? What about mine? Where's my testimony? Kids, you listen to it every Wednesday. And you have my notes. Typos included, no extra charge, right? This is what me and God been working on. Super cool, yeah? Where did I learn about the notes? Clearly, I strive. Don't accomplish it as well as I'd like. I strive to take example from the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God. Breathed out by God. Get it? God's testimony. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. All of it. It doesn't say some of it. All of it. Breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Hey, there it is right there. Hey, you got it right there. It's written down in the notes of the Bible. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days, right, was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. If we didn't have these notes, where would we be? If you don't make your notes, what happens to your kids if they can't find your note? What happens to my kids when they don't? My kids know where this website is. They don't have to wonder what my testimony is. They know what my testimony is. I've learned 4 ways of note-taking. Pick one or use them all. You really want to get smart? Sit down and revise your notes. Take notes and revise them again. Share your notes. Tell people about your notes. Give thanks for your notes. Like I said, 4 options I got here. Here we go. First option. You ready? First option of taking notes. Here, the keys to the kingdom, right? Listen and don't write anything down. First option. This one's fun, but as a productive tool, maybe not. You enjoy the listener like an entertainer. Huh? You're taking it in, right? Maybe you remember some of it. Or not. Even on the best days when I think I'm remembering everything somebody says, I'm not. You want to hear a good nowhere phrase? Want to hear a good nowhere phrase? I learn better by listening and not writing. Dumb. Option number 1 is dumb. It's dumb. Let's go to number 2. Option for taking notes. Let's go to number 2. Number 2, writing too many things down. With number 2, a few points are made clear, and other points are lost. Why? Because I can't listen entirely. Writing and listening at the same time is impossible. One or the other will suffer, especially if the information is new to me. Yeah, that's option number 2. Could you put 1 and 2 together? Yes. Yes. Get a little bit farther there. What about number 3? Writing quickly and rewriting an expanded version later. Well, depending on your level of skill in shorthand, this can be pretty effective. Grab the information as quickly as possible. Pay attention to the details with determination, yeah? In that setting, I've done pretty well. Listen and don't write anything down. That's one way. You can take something in. Maybe you'll remember something, but who's going to read it later? You? Maybe not. If you can't read it, nobody else can either. 2, writing too many things down. That's an exercise in getting a few things. Yeah, you get a few things. So if you listen and write too many things down, well, maybe you're picking up a few things. Better than nothing, right? Number 3, writing quickly and rewriting. Rewriting is a key that I teach. Rewriting an expanded version later. Yeah, your brain gets better in writing. Your brain gets better. So we got 1, 2, and 3. Listen, don't write anything down. Writing too many things down. And 3, writing quickly and rewriting an expanded version later. Okay. What about number 4? Listen with a recorder and write notes later. Waiting until another time to prepare notes from a recorder is awesome. It's awesome. You can hear intention, voice intonation, facts you didn't hear the first time, a specific order of information, and best of all, you can listen over and over again and get to enjoy the show for the first time. So like if you get to enjoy the show, if you're sitting there listening, you can watch the guy while it's being recorded for you. That's the best advice. What's the best advice? What is the best advice? Question mark. What is the best advice? The best advice about note-taking is don't be foolish and pretend that your ability to comprehend is greater than it is. The idea of sharing your testimony is that operative word is sharing. Like I said, how can you share it if you're dead? The prophets are dead, but we can still hear what they said. We can still hear. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So the best advice is don't be foolish and pretend that your ability can span over the next two or three generations of your lifetime. It can't even span over next week, kids, if you don't get a hold of yourself, if you don't structure yourself, if you don't make yourself do it. Get the information at the time. Get it any way you can get it. When it's coming at you, get it. And then rewrite your notes. Take notes and then rewrite them beautifully. Remember the art of the blessing. Beautifully, the art of the blessing, as we say. Place them in a book, in an order. Your writings, a great, enjoyable diary of you and God and your life that He's given you. Can you dig that? Make your notes. To be able to look back and refer to them, how you felt about the Bible, what it said to you, how you use it in your life. Enjoy new information over and over again from your notes. Integrate the facts now and tomorrow and the tomorrow after tomorrow and forever. Use them to overcome obstacles that come against you. You might not think you need these notes right now. I guarantee you there'll come a time when you do need them. Write them down. Does Scripture tell you about writing them down? Heck yeah. Habakkuk 2:2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. So he may run who reads it. What are you talking about? Talk about somebody else, isn't he? He's telling us, write your vision. Make it plain on tablets. Write what I'm doing with you. So he who reads it may run with it, including you. Get it? God told Habakkuk to write things down so you can run with it, man. You can use it. Be blessed by the word. You can use it. Run with it, baby. Habakkuk wrote down what the Lord directed in about 650 BC, 650 years before Christ, okay? During the Assyrian domination of Babylon. You want to know about it? Look it up. I mean, come on. Look it up. The Assyrian domination of Babylon. There's a lot. You think the war in the Middle East is new? It's been going on since, you know, since the beginning of writing, okay? But without his notes, we wouldn't be talking about it right now. We wouldn't be talking. Years later, probably, not only did Habakkuk, was he told to write things down, but years later, probably around 90 AD, like 90 years after Christ died, John the Apostle had a vision of the new, in quotes, Jerusalem. What's the new Jerusalem? We wouldn't know about the new Jerusalem. I wouldn't be talking about the new Jerusalem. You wouldn't be asking me, what is the new Jerusalem, if John hadn't written it down. Now, I'm going to tell you about Habakkuk in a minute. I'm going to tell you that him writing this vision down so that we could read it, I'm going to tell you what it meant, what happened from writing it down. Well, you want to know about the new Jerusalem too? Of course you do. Well, you might not think you do right now, but there's going to be a day when you want to know what it's about. And you can read it in the notes of Revelation 21:5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Now, this is cool, but I'm still going to zero in on it. Write it down. The New Jerusalem is what happens when Christ finally fixes everything on this planet. Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, nothing. Yeah. Christ takes over, and it's the new order, the new Jerusalem. Well, we'll talk about that. I'm still going to hit you with Habakkuk, but first I want to hit you with Isaiah 8:1. Moreover, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with a man's pen concerning Mahar Shalah Hashbah. Make speed to the spoil, hasten to the prey. What does that mean? That was at a time that there was something being foretold. It was being foretold. Like Rick talks about the foretelling of the end of the world as we know it, the end of the bad guys. It's foretold, it's written, so when it happens, we know God is God. So I'll tell you, Isaiah wrote down accurately something very, very important. Way back in a world far, far away, right? A galaxy far, far away from today. It was foretold in Scripture that the Assyrian army would, in the near future of that time, destroy Damascus and Samaria. It was foretold, it was written down that that would happen. Well, nobody believed it when he wrote it down, but it happened. And nobody would have believed it ever had Isaiah not written it down. Had it not written down the prophecy, and then it actually happened. It happened as foretold by the prophet, validates who God is. Your notes validate who you are. Prophecy is not a joke, kids. It's the real deal. As told only by the Lord, nobody else. Proverbs 8:9, my words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. So you get what this thing, Habakkuk back in the day, Isaiah, Revelations, these are notes that were written that were foretelling what is going to happen. And it did happen. Now, New Jerusalem hasn't happened yet. The argument that it has, sorry, I can't find it in the book. It is not there yet. It's the New Jerusalem is the thousand-year reign. Do you want to know about it? Well, you can find out about it because it's written in the notes. And Proverbs 8:9 is so clear. My words are plain. If you can read English, you understand. You can understand it. You can understand, but let's say you don't. Look, God made clear notes just for you. Just for you, so we could talk about it today. When people say they don't understand, it's important to help them understand. That's your job. Help them. Show them. The Bible has places all over it to help people. No matter where you are in the Bible, there are things to help you understand. No matter where you open it up, God always puts a little word in there to help you understand. But when you don't understand, get help. Get help. When it's your turn to write notes, take example from God. Be clear. Be clear, committed, and prepared to share with others the information so the information can be understood, including you. Rewrite them as needed, clear and correct, no matter how many times you got to rewrite them. You notice I'm saying chapter 46, note-taking 2022. I upgrade my notes every week from the year before. I upgrade them. I update them every year. This isn't like from 1941, you know, like a standard recording that I just press the button, you know, and go work on my bike. John 14:29, I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. Note-taking is important. You never know what God is going to do with your notes. You never know what God is going to do with your notes. You never know what God is going to do with your notes. Whether he's going to help you or somebody else. You never know, but he's going to do something with them, but he can't do anything with them if you don't write them. That is the Bible. It tells the past, the present, and the future. God is coming. He is coming. And when he does, nobody's going to be able to say, hey, nobody told me. Nobody told me. Why? Because it is written in the book. It's there for all to see. Scripture is the ultimate set of accurate notes. Now buy yourself a recorder and quit being goofy. Take good notes. Well, how do you take good notes here? I supply you with a recording. I gave it to you on a website, revelation2221.com. It used to be mmwjc.com, but I changed it. But you can still type in mmwjc.com and it'll come up. revelation2221.com, it'll come up. You can find the recording. You can find me talking. Find what I said today. A little later today, but today. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 19. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. What's that mean? It means don't talk too much. Get to the point. That's the way you write your notes. Same thing with writing. Reread your notes Make them matter to someone who reads them, including you. Make them relevant. Make them correct. Share how they have changed your thinking, your life, the lives of those around you. What God is doing in your life. More is not better. Better is better. That's where that saying came from. I would rather speak 5 intelligible words than 10,000 words in some kind of a tongue. You've heard of speaking in tongues before, and everybody all that, okay. Okay, I have my own problems with that. People think they're speaking in tongues. You know, come on. I'm not sure about that. I know that the gifts of the Spirit are authentic. I also know that people misrepresent authentic all the time. So I would rather write my notes with 5 words that matter than 1,500 that don't. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't write it down, you're not going to remember what God is doing for you and what he wants you to do. If you read on in Hosea, he says, I gave you the information and you discarded it. Yeah. And now you're not mine anymore. Oh, man, it's harsh. Lack of knowledge means he gave it to you and you said no. He's giving it to you right now. You don't want to take notes? You say no. We got to remember every day that to be a hero, you want to be the hero of the story? It takes work. You got to every day check yourself. There is a God and you're not it. You got to take care of the list of what you've been given. He's not going to tell you, hey, you be me today. You be God today. He's not going to say that ever. He is God. God is God, and God is God all the time. All the time. He needs you to take care of what you need to take care of. To keep everything sane with his help. Keep everything sane in your life with his help. Don't pretend like you're God and you know something you don't know. You don't know nothing without God, neither do I. So take the notes. How come? You can look back and say, oh my, heavens to Murgatroyd. Remember that one? That was a great cartoon. I digress. Heavens to Murgatroyd. You can look back and see God was doing something right here. Oh, my God. And then you can say to him, praise you, God, I didn't see this. Oh, praise you, God, for giving me this information that will help me today. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Listen to what I'm saying right now. Listen to what the Bible reads right now. Read it right now. Write your notes. Take your notes of what's happening here. Write your assignments every week and put them in your book that you may gain wisdom in the future. Remember this. All right, and I'm closing for you guys. We're early today. I'm closing. So remember this. Write it down. Staple it to your forehead. When the opportunity drops by, when the Holy Spirit rolls up, when it's time to do what needs to be done, I envision the angel of God, the gatekeeper to the next level of life, asking of me the following question. What is your name and are you responsible? For me, what is the correct answer? Correct answer is, and may it be the same for you, my name is Patrick, and I am responsible for all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. No excuses. May God help me. I believe in that instance, I am allowed to move forward, allowed passage into a vast sea of opportunity. Without it, I can't go anywhere. I got to go back and start again. I'm not responsible. I didn't do it. He did it. That's not a leader. That's not somebody who's relying on the notes for the future. That's not somebody who's making a relationship with God and working it and jamming with what he gave you today. You want me to say it again? My vision, the angel of God, the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper, as I stand before what comes next in my life, and he says to me, the angel of God, God says to me, What is your name? And are you responsible? Before I open this gate for you, punk, who are you and are you responsible? What's the right answer for me? My name is Patrick, and I am responsible for all of it. The good I did, the bad I did, the ugly, no excuses. It was me. And may God help me with what it is and teach me from that. In that instance, I believe he moves us all forward. You answer that way, I believe he moves us forward into a vast sea of opportunity. Because you're ready. You're ready. You accept the responsibility. Even when you blow it, you accept it. You go to him to fix it. You accept it. In acceptance of his will be done. In acceptance of his will be done. Take notes, kids. You're going to need them. You're going to need them, man. Amen, amen, amen. A rock and roll good morning, 8:05. Boy, are we rolling Pacific Standard Time, 8:05. John, let's pray and get these folks into the list. And let's see what our notes come up. I am happy about the notes that are happening. I am happy about the assignments. And I am very happy, John, with how you respond. Dude, you bless me with your response every week. I look at what you have said. It is a blessing to see the assignments and a blessing to see your response. Dude. All right, I'll talk to you about that. Maybe putting Rick on the email so he can see what we're doing here. All right, go ahead on, John.